الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. This is our first lesson in our intensive seminar on the path to paradise, studying the work which is entitled Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa, Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa, the strongest handhold. Literally the strongest handhold, the strongest bond and covenant, in reference to the great statement, the statement of Al-Ikhlas and the statement of Al-Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, the testimony of faith that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a work which is authored by Shaykh Sarih Al-Usaymi Hafidhahullahu ta'ala, and it has been read and reviewed by the great scholar Sheikh Sarih Al-Fawzan Hafidhahullahu ta'ala, and he has praised it greatly and advised to benefit from it. So we begin right away because our time together is limited. And I remind the noble brothers and sisters, Barakallahu Fikum, that this is Dawratun Mukathafa, an intensive seminar. So in the likes of these seminars, whenever there are only a few classes, there will be a lot of information covered in a brief period of time, meaning it will be intensive. So we have to be patient in attending the classes and striving to be on time, and be patient likewise that maybe sometimes the classes will prolong longer than normal, so on and so forth, and the information may be heavy, more heavy than normal. And no doubt the knowledge of the revelation is heavy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeela. Indeed, we're going to reveal to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a heavy statement. So the knowledge of the religion, the knowledge of the deen is heavy. And in the likes of these intensive seminars, sometimes seeking knowledge can be heavy. But if we are sincere and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us and to help us, it will become easy. And we will find the delight in that, in the sweetness of knowledge. So this is a reminder that the information is going to be heavy and in a brief period of time. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate. The title of the work, Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa. Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa. The people of knowledge, they mention Al-Urwa ismu lima yuta'allaqu bihi. Al-Urwa in the Arabic language is literally something that one he will hold on to, meaning something that one takes as a handhold. Something that one takes as a handhold. Whenever he wants to hold on for something, to stabilize himself or to secure himself, he will take an urwa and grab onto that and hold on to it. And as for al-wuthqa, then this is ta'neethu al-awthaq. Ta'neeth al-awthaq. The feminine form of the word awthaq. Of awthaq. Yani al-aqwa. Al-aqwa. So al-urwa al-wuthqa, literally the strongest handhold. What is intended, the strongest covenant and bond, which is the statement, La ilaha illallah. So the author, he begins in the very beginning, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, Babu Qawlillahi Ta'ala, the chapter with regards to the statement of Allah, the Most High. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. The author mentioned, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning of which is, and whoever disbelieves in the ta'ghut, and whoever disbelieves in the ta'ghut, to summarize everything that is worshipped besides Allah, all of the false deities that are worshipped besides Allah, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, whoever disbelieves in all of the false deities worshipped besides Allah, وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and he believes in Allah, فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى, then indeed he's holding fast to the strongest handhold. Then indeed he's holding fast to the strongest bond and covenant. Then indeed he's holding fast to the statement, La ilaha illallah. Al-qawl al-thabit, La infisama laha. La infisama laha, which will never fail him and it will never break. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he referred to Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa in more than one verse in his book. And from those verses, this verse is here that the author, he mentioned. But likewise in Surah Al-Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنْ فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى وَإِلَى اللَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and whoever surrenders and submits his face sincerely to Allah, meaning whoever is sincere and devotion to Allah, and singles out Allah alone with all actions of worship and servitude. Wa huwa muhsin, while he is a good doer, meaning obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the way clarified by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqad istamsaka bil urwati al-wuthqa, then indeed he's holding fast to al-urwa al-wuthqa. So we see here that holding fast to the urwa al-wuthqa requires for us to have al-ikhlasu wal-mutaba'a. We must be sincere and have purity of intention and make our devotion and our actions of worship, all of it truly for the sake of Allah, beginning with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance and devotion and servitude and sincere faith. And then actualizing that faith and that creed, actualizing that faith and that creed and statement, action and deed, by following the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diligently, specifically in the actions of worship and establishing the rights of al-Islam, and likewise the contracts and dealings that have been legislated in the law and the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this manner, a person he'll be holding fast. In this manner, a person he'll be holding fast to this statement, La ilaha illallah. He will be holding fast to the deen. He will be holding fast to his covenant. He will be holding fast to his bond. He will be holding fast to the means of savior and safety in this life and the hereafter. In this life and in the hereafter. So therefore, a person, he must surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal and comply to him in obedience. And likewise, he must strive to fulfill the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. Fulfill the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal in establishing the sacred rights of al-Islam, the head of them at Tawheed, and then likewise the Salah, the obligatory first and foremost, and the rights that are upon a person in his wealth, and the rights of fasting, and establishing the pilgrimage, the pillars of al-Islam. One, he must learn these affairs and establish them in his life to the best of his ability, along with the rest of the rights of the deen. Along with the rest of the rights of the deen, like the rights that Allah has given to the people, from being obedient and kind to the parents, and keeping good ties and relations with the relatives, and being kind and being kind and merciful with the neighbor, and being just with the people in the markets and in the streets and wherever one may be. So therefore, a person, in order to hold fast to al-Islam, he must have al-ikhlas and al-mutaba'a. He must have al-ikhlas wa al-ihsan. Wa al-ihsan فِالْإِخْلَاسِ يُكُونُ بِالْمُتَابَةِ. So he must worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone and do that in the best manner. And the best manner meaning taking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model. وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٍ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٍ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. This is the one who's holding fast. Al-Ihsan and al-Islam, it has two aspects. Al-Ihsanu fi ibadati al-Khaliq. We have to have goodness and strive upon perfection and excellence in our dealings, first and foremost in the worship of the Creator, and likewise in dealing with the people. Al-ihsan fi ibadati al-khaliq, wal-ihsan fi mu'amalati al-khaliq. We must have al-ihsan. You need to strive to do things properly in a manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the worship of Allah. And this goes back again to establishing the ikhlas and being sincere inwardly. Being sincere inwardly in the heart and the actions of worship and devotion for Allah alone, and then likewise performing them outwardly according to the legislation and law that was revealed to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is al-ihsan fi ibadati al-khaliq. But likewise, the Khaliq subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, he has given rights to the creation, given rights to the people. Our parents, they have rights upon us. Our children, they have rights upon us. Our relatives, they have rights upon us. Our neighbors have rights upon us. Our colleagues have rights upon us. The people in the neighborhood, in the markets, in the streets, they have rights upon us. In order to fulfill the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla truthfully, and in order to hold fast honestly to this urwa al-wuthqa, a person, he must also fulfill the rights that Allah has given the people, seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in dealing with the Creator, we must be sincere and follow His legislation in obedience. And follow His legislation in obedience. And in dealing with the creation, likewise, we must be sincere and follow the legislation in obedience. The person who is sincere in dealing with the Creator, when dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the perfection of that would be by being sincere likewise in dealing with the people. So one would deal with the people not for the sake of the people and not seeking the pleasure of the people or position and status with the people. Rather, he would deal with the people seeking the pleasure of Allah. He would deal with the people seeking the pleasure of Allah. So he would deal with the people in a manner that's pleasing to Allah, regardless if it's pleasing to the people or not. Regardless if it's pleasing to the people are not. He will seek the pleasure of Allah. So he will not be nice to those who are nice to him and rude to those who are rude to him. Rather, he will deal with each individual according to that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that which is required in the legislation. So this is from the completion and the perfection of holding fast to Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa. To holding fast to Al-Urwa Al-Wuthqa. In the verse, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتْ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Here is mentioning the obligation of disbelieving in the ta'gut. A person, he will not truly be holding fast to the statement La ilaha illallah, and he will not be upright upon the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he disbelieves in the ta'gut. Until he disbelieves in the ta'gut. Again, in general, the ta'gut is everything that's worshipped besides Allah. All of the false deities and gods and methodologies and ways and religions that are contrary to Al-Islam. That are contrary to Al-Islam. The people of knowledge, they mention, al-ta'gut, mushtaqun min al-tughyan. Mushtaqun min al-tughyan. Al-tughyan means to go beyond the limits. Taga means to go beyond the limits. And they call it a flood, fayadan. They call it also tughyan. The water, whenever it overflows and there's a great flood, this is a type of tughyan, going beyond the limits. Going beyond the limits. So the word al-ta'gut, Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, al-ta'gut ma tajawaza bihi al-abdu haddahu min ma'budin aw matbu'in aw muta'. That the ta'gut is something that will cause a person to transgress the limits. The ta'gut is something that will cause a person to transgress the limits with regards to one being worshipped, or with regards to one being followed, or with regards to one being obeyed. So therefore, this tughyan and extremism and transgressing the boundaries, leaving the straight path, letting go of al-urwa al-wuthqa, and grabbing onto something else, it will occur with regards to ibadah. And it will occur likewise with regards to following. And it will occur likewise with regards to obedience. To obedience. So those who worship others besides Allah, and those who call on the graves besides Allah, or the awliya and the so-called saints besides Allah, they have taken these things as ta'gut. These things have caused them to transgress the limits. And likewise, those who follow innovated ways and newly introduced methodologies of worship and the likes like this, all of these people, they're ta'gut. They're ta'gut, causing people to transgress in worship. Transgress the right of Allah in worship. And transgress the right of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise in being followed. And transgressing the limits in obedience, in obeying someone in the disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how one, he will follow the ta'gut. So for a person to truly hold fast to the deen of Allah azza wa jal, he must disbelieve in the ta'gut. I mean, he must disbelieve in all of the deities that are worshipped besides Allah. He must disbelieve in all of the deviated paths and ways, the turuq, al-mubtada'a, al-mudilla, that are contrary to Al-Islam. All of the customs and the cultures that have been introduced into Al-Islam that have no evidence in the Quran or in the Sunnah, that have not been understood by the best of this ummah. These, we must disbelieve in them. We must believe that they're falsehood and they're not the correct way. So therefore, we must believe that Christianity is falsehood, and that Judaism is falsehood, and Buddhism is falsehood, and Hinduism is falsehood, and all of the other religions likewise, these are religions of falsehood. And likewise, all of the turuq, all of the different ways to worship Allah which are innovated, the turuq of the Sufiyyah, the Naqshbandiyyah, and the rest of them, Dusuqiyyah, Rifa'iyyah, all these innovated ways, these are ways of falsehood. These are ways of falsehood. Tablighiyyah, Ikhwaniyyah, all of these are ways of falsehood. These are ways of falsehood, not known to Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum, much less the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's incumbent to disbelieve in them, to believe that these are ways of falsehood. It's not allowed to follow those ways. It's not allowed to follow those ways. These are ways that have been introduced later that are contrary. So before one can truly hold fast to al-urwa al-wuthqa, he must let go of these ways. Must let go of these ways. Many people, Muslims, they're Muslims. But their Islam is deficient because they're holding on with one hand to the rope of Allah and holding on and another with another hand to many different customs and cultures and ways of their forefather that are contrary to Islam, that have no evidence in the deen. That have no evidence in the deen. And it's hard for some of them to let go because of insincerity. Because of insincerity. The one who is sincere and he truly believes in the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will let go of these affairs. He will let go of these affairs. Someone who accepts Islam. Someone who accepts Islam from the Americans, for example. What do we tell him whenever he comes into Islam? We tell him now that he's coming into a new way of life. We tell him now that many of his customs and cultures, many of the ways that he was raised upon as a disbeliever, as a Christian or a Jew or whatever he was before, he was guided to al-Islam. We tell him some of your customs and cultures are allowed and permissible, but many of them are contrary to al-Islam. You have to let them go. Many of them are contrary to al-Islam. You have to let them go. Having a girlfriend, you have to let that go. Listening to music, you have to let that go. Drinking alcohol, you have to let that go. Eating swine, you have to let that go. Many things. Many cussing and having a loaded tongue and looking at whatever. You have to let all of these different ways that he was upon before, that he was raised upon, he has to let that go. This is what we tell the new Muslim, right? Likewise, barakallahu fikum, because of negligence, because of ignorance, and because of the tricks and the deception of the devil and the enemies of al-Islam, many false customs and cultures have entered into the deen of many of the Muslims. Many of the Muslims until it became as it's Islam. And so the point is now that just like the new Muslim, whenever he comes into al-Islam, there are many things he has to let go of. There are many things he has to let go of. Likewise, in this day, many people who are born Muslim and they come from Muslim lands, they were raised to believe and in Islam that is contrary and not correct, and much of that, they need to let it go. And much of that, they need to let it go. So a believer, he has to let go of these ways. He has to let go of these ways and hold fast to al-urwa al-wuthqa. To al-urwa al-wuthqa. By disbelieving in all of the false gods, first and foremost, that are worshipped besides Allah, whatever they may be. Whatever they may be. And likewise, by disbelieving and turning away from all of the false and innovated ways, from the innovated religions, and likewise, the innovated pathways or ways of worship that are ascribed falsely to al-Islam, The people of not, as they mentioned, al-tawaghit kathira. These things that will cause a person to transgress the limits, there are many. Wa ru'usuhum khamsa, but the head of them are five. So the tawaghut, the plural is tawaghit, wa hiya kathira. These things that will cause a person to deviate and go astray, there are many. But the head of them are five. وَرُؤُسُهُمْ خَمْسِ إِبْلِيسِ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهِ. The first one is the devil, Iblis, لَعَنَهُ اللَّهِ. وَمَنْ عُبِدَ وَهُوَ رَاضٍ. And the one who is worshipped while he's pleased. The one who is worshipped and he's pleased by that. And the one who others worship him, and he accepts that, and he's pleased. And he's pleased with that. وَمَنْ دَعَ النَّاسِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ نَفْسِهِ. And the one who called the people to worship himself. The one who called the people to worship himself. These are tawaghit. Tawaghit fi al-ibadah. Yani fi في المعبود. And likewise, ومن ادعى شيئا من علم الغيب. The one who claimed to have knowledge of the unseen. The one who claimed to have knowledge of the unseen. Like the soothsayers and the fortune tellers and the magicians and the likes like this. These are all tawaghit. And even in our days, in some lands, there are these people that we're learning now are tawaghit. They're considered mashayikh in certain lands, in certain societies, and certain places. The shaykh, he is in reality a sahir, a magician and a kahin, a soothsayer. What do you have billah? And he lies on the people, and the people even give him money, and the likes like this, giving him money to make dua for him, or to do some type of cure for him. What do you have billah? Which is in reality, seeking aid and help with the devils. Seeking aid and help with the devils, claiming that they have the unseen. Claiming that they have knowledge of the unseen. This is a type of tughyan and transgressing the limits and going beyond the boundaries. وَمَنْ حَكَمَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ حَكَمَ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. And the one who judges and rules with other than that which Allah has revealed. With other than that which Allah has revealed. So in order to truly hold fast to al-urwa al-wuthqa, in order to truly purify the tawheed, and in order to truly be upon the deen of al-Islam, a person, he must disbelieve in the taghut. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. So al-kufr bil-taghut, it means to disbelieve in all of these false gods and deities and ways and that are contrary to al-Islam. To disbelieve in them. What does it mean to disbelieve in the taghut? To believe that it doesn't exist? No, they exist. We believe they exist. We see them in our faces. To disbelieve in them means to believe that they're falsehood. They're falsehood. These gods that are worshipped besides Allah, these are falsehood. Worshipping the graves besides Allah is falsehood. Worshipping Jesus besides Allah is falsehood. Worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam besides Allah is falsehood. It's falsehood. Christianity is falsehood. Judaism is falsehood. These are all ways of falsehood. Paganism and all of its different avenues is falsehood. From the worst of all falsehood. So we must believe that it's falsehood. وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ. and believe that worshipping Allah is the truth. And believe that worshipping Allah is the truth. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. This verse here clarifies the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, it means to disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Allah, and to believe that Allah alone is worthy of worship. And to believe that Allah alone is worthy of worship. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, this is nafyun. Nafyun am, this is a general negation. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ, this is the same meaning of La ilaha. وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and believes in Allah. And he believes that Allah alone is worthy of worship, and is worshipped in right and in truth. Is worshipped in right and in truth. Yani illallah. Illallah. So this verse here likewise clarifies the meaning of al-urwa al-wufqa. And that's from the wisdom of mentioning it here in the beginning of this text. Because the purpose of this chapter is to see the greatness of al-tawheed. And to see the obligation of al-tawheed. And the great benefit and virtue of al-tawheed. And those who hold fast to al-tawheed and establish its rights properly. And likewise a warning from shirk and its different avenues and different ways. Its different avenues and different ways. This meaning here is established in many texts. This obligation to disbelieve in the taghut. And the understanding of the meaning, La ilaha illallah. The meaning of La ilaha illallah is La ma'buda bihaqin illallah. That there is no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ma'buda bihaqin illallah. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. This means that all of the gods that are worshipped besides Allah are falsehood and not worthy of worship. And that Allah alone is worthy of worship. And that Allah alone is worthy of worship. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. This is what this statement here is establishing. This noble verse here is establishing. Likewise in Sahih Muslim. Likewise in Sahih Muslim from the Hadith of Tariq ibn al-Asja'i radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man qala la ilaha illallah wa kafara bima yu'badu min dunillah haruma maluhu wa damuhu wa hisabuhu ala Allah. That whoever says la ilaha illallah and he disbelieves in everything that's worshipped besides Allah, then his wealth and his blood will become sacred. And his reckoning will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning in this manner, he will enter into the fold of al-Islam. The one who says, La ilaha illallah, but along with that, وَكَفَرَ بِمَا يُعْبَدُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and he disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Allah. So this is a condition. This is the condition for the proper understanding of this statement. For the proper understanding of this statement. To say, La ilaha illallah, this requires for us to disbelieve in all of these false gods. To disbelieve in them and that they're not worthy of worship. They're worshipped in falsehood and not in truth. As for Allah Azza wa Jal, then he's worshipped in truth. And one wording in this narration, likewise in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man wahhad Allah wa kafara bima yubadu min dunillah. Man wahhad Allah wa kafara bima yubadu min dunillah. Haruma maluhu wa damuhu wa hisabuhu ala Allah. That whoever makes the tawheed of Allah, that whoever makes the tawheed of Allah, meaning whoever singles out Allah alone for all actions of worship, and he disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Allah, then his wealth and his property, his wealth and his blood will become sacred. Will become sacred, and his reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse that we're studying, and likewise the verses to come, and also these narrations that we're going to take as well, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, they will clarify for us in the greatest detail the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. The true meaning of La ilaha illallah, which is kalimatu al-ikhlas, which is al-qawl al-thabit, which is al-urwa al-wufqa. What kalima al-tayyib, it's the good word, it's the firm statement. It's the firm statement. And it is the strongest covenant and bond, that whoever holds fast to it, it will carry him by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal to the pleasure of Allah and to Jannah. To the pleasure of Allah and to Jannah. But this is something that one he must strive for. We all know the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhumah, whenever he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. We know this narration, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. This narration has been narrated likewise with a number of wordings. Buniya al-Islamu ala khams. And from them we know Shahadati in La ilaha illallah. Wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. This is a wording that maybe all of us are familiar with, which is mentioned in the 40 hadith of an-Nawawi. Buni al-Islam wa al-Khams. Al-Islam is based upon five. Shahadati and la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. The testimony that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a very famous wording. Here it's mentioning the shahada. Here it's mentioning the shahada. In the previous narration, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Man qala la ilaha illallah wa kafara bima yu'badu min. Whoever says la ilaha illallah. And the other wording, man wahhada Allah. Man wahhada Allah. Whoever singled out Allah alone. Wa kafara bima yu'badu min dunillah. And he disbelieved in everything that's worshipped besides Allah. And the narration that we're discussing now, Islam is based upon five. Shahada. The shahada, the testimony of faith. And la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Likewise, it has been narrated as well. Buni al-Islam wa al-Khams. And this is from the wording. This is from the wording which is in Sahih Muslim. Buni al-Islam wa al-Khams ala an yu'bad Allahu wa yukfara bima duna. Ala an yu'bad Allahu wa yukfara bima duna. That al-Islam is based upon five, and that is to worship Allah alone and disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Him. And to disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Him. The point in gathering these narrations is to see that the meaning of the shahada is to say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And the meaning of that is to make the tawheed of Allah, man wahad Allah. And the reality of the tawheed of Allah, and yu'bad Allah wa yukfara bima duna. Wa yukfara bima duna. To worship Allah and to disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Him. To disbelieve in everything that's worshipped besides Him. Calling on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is falsehood. Calling on Jesus alayhi salam is falsehood. Calling on Jibreel is falsehood. Calling on those lesser than them. Calling on Jailani is falsehood. Calling on Rifa'i is falsehood. Calling on the graves, any of them is falsehood. This is the right of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Ad-du'a, calling, invoking, supplicating, it is the true ibadah. It's the reality of worship. So all actions of worship, especially du'a, it must be directed to Allah alone. This is the right of Allah alone. That's why we say, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha, there's nothing worthy of worship. No one has the right for supplication and invocation. No one has the right for us to call on and beg for any of our needs. And the goodness of this life and the hereafter, or protection from any harm or danger in this life and the hereafter, except for Allah. That's the meaning of this statement. We must believe in this manner and believe that those who call on others besides Allah, that this is falsehood. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيَّ الْكَبِيرِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيَّ الْكَبِيرِ. Allah, He is Al-Ali, the Most High, Al-Kabir, the Most Great. That's why He is the truth. Calling on Allah is the truth. Supplicating to Allah is the truth. Prostrating before Allah is the truth. Fasting for Allah is the truth. Making hajj for Allah is the truth. Doing any of this for other than Allah is falsehood. Doing any of this for other than Allah is falsehood. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. So this wording here, بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَى خَمْسٍ عَلَى أَنْ يُعْبَدَ اللَّهُ وَيُكْفَرَ بِمَا دُونَهُ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ وَحَجِّ الْبَيْتِ وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانَ. Similar as is well known. Also mentioned in Sahih Muslim, عَلَى أَنْ يُوَحَّدَ اللَّهُ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى أَنْ يُوَحَّدَ اللَّهُ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. So the meaning of the shahada, the meaning of the testimony, La ilaha Allah, is a tawheed. And a tawheed is not established except with negation and affirmation. A tawheed is not established. A tawheed means monotheism. But the tawheed of the Muslims, وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ, the tawheed of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tawheedun khalis. Pure tawheed, pure Islamic monotheism. And this is not established except with negation and affirmation. And that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha, nafyun. La ilaha. This is nafyun. La ma'buda. Bihaq. This is nafyun. Illallah. Illa Allah. Except for Allah. This is affirmation. So the statement of La ilaha illallah, it stands and is established on negation and affirmation. A general encompassing negation, negating the right to be worshipped from every manner and every aspect and every form from everything besides Allah, and a specific affirmation affirming that right of worship for Allah alone from every aspect and every manner and every way. From every aspect and every manner and every way. We understand this? La ilaha illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship. La ma'buda bihaqin illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. There's nothing worthy of worship. This is negation. illallah, except for Allah, this is affirmation. And saying there's nothing worthy of worship, meaning whatsoever. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. Even to emphasize, wahdahu alone, affirming and emphasizing the affirmation, la sharika lah, and emphasizing the negation. And emphasizing the negation. Do we understand this part? Do we understand this part? This is all clarified in these texts here. This meaning here is clarified in these texts here. If we look at the first text, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. What is a طَاغُوت? All of the false deities that are worshipped besides Allah. So whoever disbelieves in all of the false deities who worship besides Allah, وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ, and believes in Allah, فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. If we go to the next verse, the author, he mentioned, رحمه ta'ala, what does he say? وَقَوْلِهِ وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. And worship Allah alone, and do not associate any partners with Him. وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, this is affirmation. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. This is negation. So وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, this is a specific affirmation, affirming the right of worship for Allah alone. This is what Allah has ordered in this verse. This is what Allah has ordered in وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ, and what He has forbidden, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. So وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ is the same as وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا is the same as فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ. You understand this? وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Do not associate any partners with Allah Azza wa Jal whatsoever. Not any major partner and not a minor partner. No major shirk and no minor shirk. Don't even show off. Don't even do actions of the hereafter showing off, hoping for someone to praise you. Allah has forbade this in this verse and in many other verses. And a person is not holding fast to that urwa al-wufqa, until he leaves major and minor shirk. So the one who is praying, but then his friend comes in, or somebody he admires comes in, and then he adorns his prayer for that person to praise him, or to like him, and to have some love from that person, or some honor from that person. Now he's letting go of the urwa. Now he's violating the rights of the shahada. So the shahada has rights, and they can be violated. They can be violated in a major manner until they are invalidated entirely. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and they can be violated lesser than that, which is still likewise major, but not as severe, meaning he will remain a Muslim, but his Islam becomes deficient, and his shahada becomes light, and he's exposed to the anger of Allah and His punishment. And he's exposed to the anger of Allah and His punishment. So the holding on sincerely and truthfully is the true means of safety and savior and goodness in this life and the hereafter. And whenever a person he starts to let go little by little, then he's exposing his own soul to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. To the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the meaning. Barakallahu fikum. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. This verse here is in Surah An-Nisa. It's in Surah An-Nisa. This verse here has a name. Who knows the name of this verse? We know some verses in the book of Allah have names. Of course, we know the chapters have names. Huh? Al-Fatiha, Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran. Also, some of the verses have names. Like what? Ayatul Kursi. Huh? Ayatul Dain. Huh? The verse of the Kursi. The verse of the Dain. Also, other verses as well. Ayatul Wudu. Right? The ayatul wudu, the ayah for wudu. There are many verses that have names with the people of knowledge. This verse here, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. It has a name. It has a name. Who's familiar with this verse? وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَصَاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا. Now this is the verse of the 10 rights. Jazakallahu khairan. The verse of the 10 rights, beginning with the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the greatest right is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is that Allah should be worshipped alone with no partners. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. So here Allah Azza wa Jal is ordering for His right to be established. What is His right? His right is the right of At-Tawheed. And that is that he should be worshipped alone with no partners. And this is not established until we disbelieve in all of the Tawud. It has been mentioned by Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, Al-Baghawi, he mentioned this in his tafsir. that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, كل ما ورد في القرآن من العبادة فمعناها التوحيد. فمعناها التوحيد. Everything that has come in the Quran with the mention of ibadah, with the mention of worship, then the meaning of that is at tawheed. Then the meaning of that is at tawheed. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, كل ما ورد في القرآن من العبادة. And if the word ibadah, anytime it has come, and any of its derivatives, like here, وعبود الله. This is from عَبَدَ يَعْبُدُ عِبَادَةً. This is عِبَادَة. وَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ, worship Allah. The meaning of that is at tawheed. The meaning of that is at tawheed. Because there is no عِبَادَة except with tawheed. There's no عِبَادَة except with tawheed. There's no worship. There's no worship except with tawheed. Regardless of how big it is or how much effort one puts forth, if it's not performed with tawheed, it is rejected and not accepted. It is rejected and not accepted. You understand this? Al-ibadah is not accepted without tawheed. And this is based upon understanding these verses and these narrations. And this is similar to salah. Salah, likewise, is not accepted without tahara. Salah is not accepted without tahara. If somebody prayed salah right now and then he remembered, oh, astaghfirullah, I forgot to make wudu. Somebody right now, he prayed with us maghrib, and then he remembered that he didn't have wudu. What will we say about his salah? His salah is invalid. Batila. Marduda. Gharu makbula. Yajibu alayhi an yu'id as-salah. He has to repeat it. He has to do it again. It's not accepted. It's invalidated. It's no good. No benefit. He has to repeat it and do it again. He has to repeat it and do it again. In the same manner. In the same manner, barakallahu fikum, the ibadah, any ibadah that's performed without tawheed, likewise it's not accepted. Likewise it's not accepted. It's invalid. It's not accepted. No matter how great it may be. No matter how great it may be. Even if a person were to commit minor shirk, even if a person were to commit minor shirk, this is a violation of tawheed. If he did that from the very beginning, his worship will be invalidated. Showing off, just showing off. Not to mention worshiping others besides Allah, calling on others besides Allah. No, doing a worship that's normally, he would do it for the sake of Allah, but he's doing it showing off. If he did that from the very beginning, he says, Allahu Akbar, showing off, hoping to be seen and praised from the people, it's invalid and will not be accepted. Even if he repented in the middle, even if he repented slightly after that, he said, Allahu Akbar, showing off, hoping that people see him. And then he starts the Fatiha, says, Astaghfirullah. He must start over and begin from the beginning. He must restart and begin from the beginning, because he began showing off. It will not be accepted. It will not be accepted. Likewise, if he began sincerely, and then throughout the middle of the prayer, for example, he started to show off. And then he continued all the way till he made taslim, showing off, wanting to be seen, wanting to be praised, all the way till he made taslim. Likewise, his worship is invalid. Likewise, his worship is invalid and not accepted. It must be sincerity and purity for the sake of Allah. Al-ibadah bila tawheed batila, ghayru maqbula. Any action of worship without tawheed is not accepted. It's not accepted, even if it is corrupted by the minor shirk. If he were to be sincere in the beginning and then to start to show off in the middle and immediately repel that, astaghfirullah, a'udhu billah, it will not harm him. But even if he were to continue with that and entertain that idea for some portion of his prayer and then repent before he's over, then his prayer will be accepted and he will have a reward according to that which was sincerity for the sake of Allah. And that portion that he showed off him, he will have no reward for it. Just to emphasize the importance of a tawheed, that the actions of worship will not be accepted without tawheed. Without tawheed. If a person, he violated the tawheed from his foundation, no deed would be accepted. No deed would be accepted. No deed would be accepted. لَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنَ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ أَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنْ الْخَاسِرِينَ. It has been revealed to you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those before you, that if you were to make shirk, if you were to devote any action of worship to other than Allah, then all of your deeds will be invalidated. Then all of your deeds will be invalidated, and hereafter you'll be from the losers. So therefore, it's of utmost importance to realize these affairs. Many of the Muslims in these days are tried with shirk. Are tried with shirk, calling on the graves and calling on the saints, the awliya, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This invalidates their Islam in entirety. This invalidates their Islam from the very foundation. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ May Allah guide them. May Allah guide them. It's incumbent for us to learn the Tawheed and then to begin to call the likes of these people, especially if they're from our family members. Especially if they're from our family members. Maybe we have family members here in America calling on graves in our lands back home, or calling on saints in our lands back home, or mashayikh in our lands back home. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ This is the worst of all misguidance and the greatest violation. The greatest violation. And the greatest violation. So the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be established, and that is to worship Him alone with no partners. And that is to worship Him alone with no partners. As for وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا Any meaning, and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. And a shirk in general, barakallahu fikum, is to direct any action of worship, major or minor, any action of worship, inwardly and outwardly, to other than Allah. صَرْفُ شَيْءٍ مِنَ عِبَادَةٍ إِلَى غَيْرِ اللَّهِ To direct any action of worship, inwardly and outwardly, to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To turn that worship to other than Allah azza wa jalla is considered shirk. Polytheism, paganism, associating partners with Allah in worship. And it's major and minor. Major and minor. The major shirk will take one out of Islam and invalidate all of his deeds. And if he died upon that, he will abide in the hellfire and never be forgiven. And he'll never see mercy again. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ As for the minor shirk, then it does not invalidate the Islam. It invalidates the deed or the portion of the deed that it occurred in, or the deed that it occurred in. And it will not cause a person to abide in the hellfire for eternity, but he will be taken to account for that, and there will be muwazana. And he will have to expiate that with according to his deeds. So although it's called minor shirk, it's still major. So although it's called minor shirk, it's still major. It's still something great. It's still something very dangerous. It still has a terrible effect on the religion. On the religion, on a person's deen. On a person's deen. After this, the author, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, وَقَوْلِهِ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ And the statement of Allah the Most High, and know. This is an address to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَعْلَمْ يَنِي أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must know, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ That there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ And seek forgiveness for your sins and for the believing men and the believing women. For the believing men and for the believing women. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering His Prophet with Tawheed. فَعْلَمْ أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ And we have seen that لا إله إلا الله is the statement of التوحيد. And the meaning of لا إله إلا الله is to establish the توحيد. Meaning that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that everything that's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood. This verse here is in Surah Muhammad. In Surah Muhammad. And Surah Muhammad is Suratun Madaniya. Suratun Madaniya. What does that mean? In the Quran, we have chapters and verses that are called Makkiyah and others that are called Madaniyah. So the one that's called Makkiyah, Before Hijrah. Ahsanta. This was revealed before Hijrah. It's with regards to the time, not the place. It's with regards to the time, not the place. So if it's called Makkiyah, meaning that this verse or this surah, this chapter or this verse was revealed before Hijrah. If it's called Madaniyah, it means that this verse was, this chapter or this verse was revealed after Hijrah. So, Surah Muhammad is Suratun Madaniya. It was revealed after Hijrah. At minimum, how many years passed by after prophethood? At minimum. And how many years before Hijrah? How many years in Mecca as a prophet? 13 years. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent 13 years in Mecca as a prophet, according to Tawheed. 10 years only according to creed, only according to Tawheed, only according to rectify the belief and to fear Allah, and to love Him and to prefer His obedience, and to fear and to prepare for the hereafter. And then slowly after that, after 10 years, the obligation of Salat came. And then after that, the Hijrah came after 3 years. So there was 13 years. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent 10 years teaching people Tawheed. And then 3 years along with that, establishing the Tawheed in the performance of the obligatory prayer. And then he made Hijrah, and then sometime after that, this verse is revealed. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ You must know, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. What does this indicate? What does this tell us? The Prophet already spent 13 years sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching the people Tawheed. He's going through great persecution because of Tawheed. He's going through great hardship and difficulty because of teaching the people Tawheed, because of clarifying the meaning of Tawheed, because of warding from shirk in his different ways, and opposing his tribesmen in this affair. Opposing his tribesmen in this affair. And he gave the greatest effort to teach and to clarify the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani Tawheed. And then after all of that, 10 years, then 3 years, 13 years, and then sometime until this verse is revealed, you must know, O Prophet. You must know, O Prophet. And you must know, you must learn, you must have certainty that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, to indicate the great importance of studying and learning this statement. Of studying and learning this statement, and it's not something that you do overnight or that you do one time, rather something that you do constantly until you die. Constantly until you die. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught the people La ilaha illallah from the very beginning of his prophethood, all the way until he's kicked out of his home and he's threatened with his life. And then whenever he comes to Medina, after all of that, Allah tells him, you must know, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La ilaha illallah. So therefore, likewise, we must know La ilaha illallah. And this is because if we're not careful, we can misunderstand La ilaha illallah, or it can become confused in our minds, and doubts could come, and we could say La ilaha illallah and call on a grave besides Allah. We can say La ilaha illallah and slaughter for a saint besides Allah. We can say La ilaha illallah and give charities to someone besides Allah. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. This is what is happening to many of the Muslims in these days. In these days, they're saying this statement, yet because they do not know the correct meaning, they invalidate it in their action, in their creed. And their heart, what do you have to believe? And their heart attachment to the creation besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, and their statements and their deeds at the same time. At the same time. So therefore, we must strive to learn the meaning. We must strive to learn this statement, to understand its proper meaning, and to learn the rights of this statement and how to fulfill them in this manner. فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. He's holding fast to the strongest bond and handhold that will never break. He's holding fast to the strongest bond and handhold that will never break. That will never break. Somebody like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to emphasize this affair, the importance of knowledge of this statement, man mata huwa ya'lam annahu la ilaha illallah dakhala jannah. That whoever dies while he knows la ilaha illallah, what he knows with certainty, he understands what that means, what it requires and necessitates, then he will enter paradise. So it's not just simple lip service. Rather, it has a meaning. Fa'lam, you must know. He know what it means. Man mata huwa ya'lam. Huwa ya'lam, yani, well, he knows what it means. Illa man shahida bilhaq wa hum ya'lamun. Allah, he mentioned likewise, except for those who testify to the truth while they know. Wa hum ya'lamuna. Ma'na ma shahidu bihi. Yani, they know the meaning of that which they testify. This is a shahada, barakallahu fikum. It's a testimony. If someone were to stand in front of a judge and to testify to something he does not know the meaning of, would it be accepted from him? Would it be accepted from him? We say, how can you testify something you have no understanding of? How can you testify to something that you don't even know the meaning of? This is called a false testimony. It will be rejected and not accepted. So how can we make the greatest testimony? The greatest testimony and not understand the meaning? Or even not have any care or concern to learn the proper meaning and to just say whatever the people say. The people who say whatever the people say with regards to this shahada and their grave, they say, ha ha la adri. Ha ha la adri. Samaytu nas yaquluna shay'an fakultuhu. They will not be able to say the right statement. The right statement. And based upon that understanding that is incorrect. So it's of utmost importance for us to study the likes of these books, the likes of these works, to study the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, not one time, not two times, over and over and over until we die. Because the Iman wears out in our hearts. The Iman, it wears out in our hearts. And it can be likewise replenished by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla if we beg Him and we ask Him and we study and we sit in the gatherings of knowledge and we hear the likes of this advice and admonition and the understanding and the interpretation of these verses, so on and so forth. It's a means to bring the heart back to life. It's a means to bring the heart back to life. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, annahu qal, lama ba'ath an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu ila نحوي أهل اليمني قال له إنك تقدم على قوم من أهل الكتاب فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إلى أن يوحدوا الله تعالى إلى أن يوحدوا الله تعالى فإذا عرفوا ذلك فأخبرهم أن الله قد فرض عليهم 5 صلوات في يومهم وليلتهم الحديث متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that he said whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, to the people of Yemen, yani to be a teacher and a judge and a caller to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to him, إِنَّكَ تَقْدَمُ عَلَى قَوْمٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, indeed you're coming to a people from the people of the book. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحِدَ اللَّهِ, so that the first thing you call them to, أَنْ يُوَحِدَ اللَّهِ, that they sing Allah alone and worship. This is the wording of Al-Bukhari. This is the wording of Al-Bukhari. Also in Bukhari Muslim, another wording, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, that the first thing that you call them to be the testimony, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And this likewise clarifies the meaning. And another wording, فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ عِبَادَةُ اللَّهِ. So we see that the shahada and la ilaha illallah when Muhammadur Rasulullah, the reality of that is the tawheed of Allah. Ila an yuwahid Allah. And that is the ibadah of Allah. This is by gathering again from these narrations. And this is similar to that which has preceded. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرُهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ 5 صَلَوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمِهِمْ وَلَيْلَتِهِمْ. If they understand that, meaning if they believe that and follow that, then inform them after that, that Allah has made obligatory upon them 5 prayers in their daytime and their nighttime. And their daytime and their nighttime until the end of the hadith. And he mentioned after that, likewise, the obligation of zakat. The point here, he says, till the end of the hadith, mutafakun alayhi, and the wording is for al-Bukhari. What we see from the point of the author in mentioning this narration here is that at-tawheed is the first thing you start with. The first, it takes precedence. That at-tawheed, it takes precedence. Whenever we call the people to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, what is the first thing you call them to? To the salah? To be nice to their parents? To give charity? To fast in Ramadan? Do we call the disbelievers to fast in Ramadan with us? Huh? لا. فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُمُ إِلَيْهِ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يُوَحِدَ اللَّهِ, and that they sing Allah alone and worship. إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ, to worship Allah alone. إِلَىٰ شَهَادَةِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. You call them first to the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is an indication that at-tawheed is the very first obligation. It's the greatest right, and it's the first obligation, and it's the foundation and the base of the religion of Islam. And it's the urwa al-wufqa. Whoever learns it and understands it and strives against his soul to implement it and to apply it, and to abide by it, and to uphold its rights, rightfully and truthfully, then it will never fail him. It will never fail him. لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. After this, the author, he said, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَقَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ التَّيْمِي مَنْ يَأْمَنْ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ بَعْدَ خَلِيلِ اللَّهِ إِبْرَاهِيمُ حين يقول وجنوبني وبنيه أن نعبد الأصنام رواه ابن جرير وابن أبي حاتم. He mentioned the statement of Ibrahim al-Taymi رحمه الله تعالى, that he said, and who is safe from the trials after the Khalil of Allah, Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, whenever he said, oh my Lord, turn me away and my children from worshipping idols. Oh my Lord, take me and my children away from worshipping idols. So this is a clarification that one, he must be afraid of shirk. That if Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was afraid for himself and for his children to fall into shirk, then no doubt we should be afraid for ourselves and our children likewise to be tried by shirk. Especially whenever we see it with our eyes, many of our own family members and loved ones tried by shirk, prostrating before graves and fearing the grave, and fearing the one in the grave, to the extent that some of them, وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ, if you do a deal with him, transaction with money, and business, and the likes like this, he'll swear all day by Allah, وَاللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ وَاللَّهِ, that's mine, I did this, I did that, I gave it to you, he will lie. He'll swear all day long by Allah and lie. And then if one were to test him, those who know him, to test him, to catch him in his lie, will tell him, swear by the wali, he will not do it. Swear by the wali, Swear by the grave. He will not do it because he's afraid of the grave more than he's afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because he honors and reveres the one in the grave and greater than the manner he's supposed to honor and revere and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be afraid of shirk. We should be afraid of falling into paganism, and polytheism, and deviating in our religion. Being afraid from deviating in our religion, being tried in our deen. This is something to fear. This is the worst trial. Trials of life, they're going to come. But trials in the deen is the worst of all trials. It's the worst of all trials. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُسِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا. Oh Allah, do not make our calamity, our problems in our religion. A problem in the dunya is something that can come and go. But a problem in the deen is a major problem, brothers. Barakallah fi. The religion is something that we must hold on to. We must honor and preserve and cherish and protect and keep good. He closed, حَفِيَذُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, with the narration. Here he says, وَقَالَ مُجِيب ابن موسى وَقَالَ مُجِيب ابن موسى أَسْبَهَانِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ كُنْتُ عَدِيلَ سُفْيَانَ الثَّوْرِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَى مَكَّةَ فَرَأَيْتُهُ يُكْفِرُ الْبُكَاءَ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بُكَاؤُكَ هَذَا خَوْفًا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ خَوْفًا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. So he mentioned the narration of Mujib ibn Musa al-Asbahani, rahimahullah. He said, I was accompanying Sufyan al-Thawri in Mecca. I was accompanying Sufyan al-Thawri in Mecca, rahimahullah ta'ala, and I saw him crying a lot. So I said to him, O Abu Abdullah, why is this crying? Is this crying because you're afraid of your sins? Afraid of the outcome of your sins and your disobedience? قَالَ فَأَخَذَ عُودًا مِنَ الْمَحْمَلِ فَرَمَى بِهِ. And he took a stem or a stick and he cast it. Rahimahullah ta'ala, فَقَالَ إِنَّ ذَنُوبِي أَهْوَنُ عَلَيَّ مِنْ هَذَا. He said, verily my sins are lighter in my eyes than this. وَلَكِنِّي أَخَافُ وَنْ أُسْلَبَ التَّوْحِيدِ. But rather I'm afraid that I'll be stripped of my tawheed. Rather I'm afraid I'll be stripped of my tawheed. Yani, this is from the way of the Salaf. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, from the greatest narrators of hadith. He died in the year 161. From the greatest scholars. He's afraid of being stripped of the tawheed. We should be afraid that we'll be stripped of our religion. And that will be replaced by others who are better than us. If we do not uphold the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, He will replace us. Just as others will replace waliyadu billah. Just as others will replace waliyadu billah. So a believer, he will fear for his religion. He will fear for his religion and the religion of his family and the religion of those under his care, under his concern. And this will carry him to take the necessary means to protect himself and his family from misguidance. First and foremost, by making dua, and then by learning and teaching and cultivating the children upon a good way. He says, رواه أبو نعيم الأسبهاني في تاريخ أسبهان والبيهقي في شعب الإيمان. And then after that, he says, فيه مسائل الأولى. There are issues here, and we just mentioned them briefly. The first one, أن عبادة الله لا تتحقق إلا بالكفر بالطاغوت. The first issue that we learn from this chapter is that worshipping Allah is not established except by disbelieving in the false gods and deities that are worshipped besides Allah. The worship of Allah is not established except in this manner. Except in this manner. الثانية أن أعظم ما أمر الله به التوحيد وأعظم ما نهى عنه الشرك. The second benefit is that the greatest thing Allah has ordered is التوحيد. And the greatest thing He has forbidden is الشرك. And this is because Allah, He began with His right. In the verse, in the ayat, al-hukuk al-ashara, He began with His right, the greatest right. So therefore, that's the greatest thing Allah has ordered and commanded. The greatest thing Allah has commanded is the tawheed. Allah has commanded many things, and all of them are great. Allah has commanded many things, and all of them are great. But the greatest of them, al-tawheed. And Allah has forbidden many things, and the prohibition of all of them is major. But the most severe is shirk. If we were to think and ponder, barakallahu fikum, over the book of Allah, and the commandments and prohibitions of Allah, and we're to ask ourselves, what is the very first commandment in the book of Allah? And then to ask ourselves, what is the very first prohibition in the book of Allah? What would it be? In which chapter will we find it? And what is the verse? The first commandment. Is the commandment for salat? The commandment for zakat? The commandment for sawm? What is the very first commandment in the book of Allah? The first commandment. Iqra, that's in the end of the book. That's the first revelation. If we open the Mus'haf, and we begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we continue to read in search of the first commandment. Where will we stop? Huh? Ya Yuhannas, O you mankind, Urabudu Rabbakum, Alladhi Khalaqakum, Walladhina Min Qablikum, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. If you read in search of the first commandment, the first in the Quran are many commandments. The first commandment is directed to all mankind. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Worship your Lord. أَلَّذِي خَلَقُهُ, the one who created you. So the one who did not create you, he's not worthy of worship. The one who did not create you and those before you, he's not worthy of worship. Who's the one who's worthy of worship? The one who created you. O mankind, worship the one. Worship your Lord, the one who created you and created those before you, so that you may fear him and become pious and righteous. We have found the first commandment. Where's the first prohibition? Huh? The next verse at the end. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. The first prohibition is the prohibition of making shirk and setting up rivals with Allah in worship. Well, you know. Well, you know Allah has created you. Well, you know Allah provide for you. Well, you know Allah send the rain from the sky for you. Well, you know Allah caused the seed to split in the ground and brings up fruit and vegetation from different water. يُسْقَى مِنْ مَاءٍ وَاحِدٍ. And you see the sky above your head with no pupils whatsoever. بِغَيْرِ أَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. Well, you know how you're going to set up a partner with Allah Azza wa Jal. The greatest sin. أَعْظَمُ ذَنْبٍ أَنْ تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُ خَلَقَكَ. And you set up a rival with Allah. You turn your heart in devotion to other than Allah. And He created you and your heart. He created you and your heart. So the greatest commandment is Tawheed. And the greatest prohibition is Shirk. Rather, the very first verb in the book of Allah, what is that? Because a verb is an action word and worship is an action. What is the very first verb? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Worship. That which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to worship. With regards to worship, worshiping the Creator. Not just believing He's the Creator, but believing He's the Creator and He's the only one worthy of worship. And believing that everything that's worshiped besides Him is falsehood. So الثانثة, he says, rahimahullah, الأمر بتعلم التوحيد. The command to learn Tawheed. We must learn Tawheed. We must learn Tawheed and then teach others the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. الرابعة, كونوا أول واجب على العبد. كونه أول واجب على العبد. The fact that it's the first obligation upon the slave. The first obligation upon the slave. This is all clarified in the evidences that preceded. الخامسة أنه يبدأ به قبل غيره من المأمورات حتى الصلاة. That one must begin with Tawheed. Tawheed is begin with before everything else, from the commandments, even the prayer. Even the prayer, even before you begin with prayer, you begin with Salah. Even the children. What's the first thing we order the children? Huh? Tawheed. The first thing we order them is at Tawheed. But from the actions, the first order is? As-salah. Huh? مُرُوا أَبْنَاءَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ عِنْدَ سَبْعٍ وَدْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا عِنْدَ عَشْرٍ. عِنْدَ عَشْرٍ. So you order them with the salah whenever they become seven. Meaning before that, you already taught them the Tawheed, because the salah is not accepted from people who do not have Tawheed. So the children, they're raised upon the Tawheed. You must learn the Tawheed and raise your children upon the Tawheed. By the time he's seven, he's already praying for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He made wudu for the sake of Allah. He's praying for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal to cultivate him upon Tawheed and obedience to the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in compliance to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-sadisa al-khawfu min ash-shirk. The sixth benefit here is that we must fear shirk, major and minor. Major and minor. As-sabia, أَنُّهُ أَخْوَفُ مَا يُخَافُ مِنْهُ عِنْدَ مَنْ عَرَفَ كُبْحَهُ وَسُوَ عَقِبَتِهِ. And the seventh benefit, and the last one, is that it is the greatest thing one should fear. The one who knows its filth and how foul and lowly the outcome is. The lowly and foul outcome of shirk, the one who realizes that and knows that, then he will fear it most and more than anything. He will fear it most and more than anything. Because the one who dies upon shirk, he will not be forgiven. The one who dies upon shirk, he will not be forgiven, no matter what he did. No matter how much prayer he has. No matter how much salat he has. No matter how much charity he has. No matter how many deeds he worked. It's all gone haba'an manthura. Haba'an manthura. The one who dies upon shirk wa liyadu billah, he will never be forgiven. Inna allaha la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. Wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. So therefore, the one who realizes this, then he will be afraid of shirk in the greatest manner. He will not take it lightly and think that it's something easy. So he says, وَاتَبِرْ بِدُعَاءِ الْخَلِيلِ وَهُوَ مَنْ هُوَ أَنْ يُجَنِبَهُ اللَّهُ وَبَنِيَهُ عِبَادَةَ الْأَسْنَامِ فَكَيْفَ بِغَيْرِهِ. And you take a lesson from the supplication of al-Khalil, yani Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he is who he is, and his high rank and status with Allah Azza wa Jal, that he supplicate to Allah to turn him away and his children from worshipping idols. So how about others besides him? هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.